The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. Great to have all of you here. We continue to take your phone calls. We will head to Omaha a little bit later to get a report on the College World Series, which begins tomorrow afternoon. Heavy coverage tomorrow as well. One game will be underway when we come on the air with A&M. Let's get back to the calls. 855-242-7285. And Gary is in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Paul, good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
What I wanted to call about was well, aside from it snowing here the last couple days in the morning off and on, I was thinking the season's going to be coming up pretty soon, and it'll go. And my question for you is these teams that are making appearances in bowl games and not making it to the dance for the championship, do you think something's going to be done about players that are not willing to play in postseason games? I think it's going to be a moot point here in the near future when they go expand to a broader tournament. But do you think that players that have scholarships should be required to play in postseason?
I think that's more of a legal question. The answer is I don't think anything can be done right now. The scholarships are pretty simple. You're being given the scholarship technically to play football, and I don't think there are qualifiers in there. The issue could maybe be more germane to an NIL deal where you're representing your school, you're representing the brand on the largest possible stage. But I think the short answer, even though I went long, is no. I don't think anything can be done about that.
Well, you look at some of the most of the time Alabama's in the championship game, but there have been seasons where Alabama hasn't been there. And you don't see that many players jumping ship on Saban's teams. They play. And I can tell you that the quality teams that have the players that show up in January or late December to play ball, even though they're not playing for a championship, are the teams that, in my opinion, are the very well-coached teams that take pride in the game more than they do their own personal agenda of the NFL and playing on Sundays and money and all of that crap. Really upsets me.
You know, Gary, a couple of years ago when Alabama didn't make the CFP for the first time, I think most of us assumed that nobody would play in the bowl game. Instead, everyone did. Only one or two players bailed out. And they had a huge win over Michigan, which I think helped propel them the next year. And it's hard, though. Even Kirby Smart, a couple of years ago, was under the gun trying to get his players. I think it was the Texas Sugar Bowl game, which hard to believe that Texas was in that game. But there's very little you can do with some players. COVID changed all that for a couple of years, but I think now that we're moving on, that won't be an issue. But players are being told by agents not to play. There's more downside than upside. Hey, thank you for the call. It's a good question, though. And that sound you hear is thunder and lightning. Well, you're not hearing the lightning. You are hearing the thunder that is seems like it's parked right over our studio, isn't it? Come on in. Don't stay out there. Bama John is up next. Hello, John. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, Paul. I just want to, first of all, I want to thank the South Carolina Gamecock women for winning the championship. I thought it was, that's the first time I was glad anybody other than Alabama won the championship.
Yes, sir. It was exciting.
And it was like, beauty, power, all that got to do with women's athletics. And I thought it was beautiful the way they did. And And that's what going to happen. All that's going to go away if that Title IX thing goes sideways in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It won't.
Yeah, John, I think, I don't know how to answer that, because I think there are certain aspects of Title IX that are going to be under assault, but I think the basic premise is still good. But, John, you take care of yourself. Thanks for sharing your story. Let's continue with more phone calls right now. And if you want to get in, give us a ring. We'll take your call. If you don't call us, we'll call you. Let's check in with Rod next. We did that once. Rod is in Dallas. Hey, Rod, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Very well.
Thanks for taking my call today. I'm a big Aggie supporter since both my daughters graduated from A&M. And so this kind of, you know, is a question after the A&M Alabama dust up about NIL money. I have a two-part question. Does the NIL money come through the universities, or does it come directly from sponsors or whatever? And if it does come through the university, do you see or foresee in the future something like a pro team salary cap for universities to kind of make a level playing field for, you know, all the universities? Because especially after this A&M Alabama dust up about A&M, you know, having so much money and everything. So I just wanted to get your viewpoint.
Yeah,
the
money is not coming directly from the university. Now, there's a lot of conversation that goes on, I think, between the university and these collectives. But I don't think it would be proper for the universities directly to make those payments. You open up a lot of legal questions there, even though we all know what's going on. And the schools, I remember Jimbo Fisher a couple weeks ago said he didn't have any idea how these NIL deals were going. But you have to, the schools have supervision. I mean, there's a compliance factor here where the universities are involved from that standpoint, but they are not directly paying the money.
So do you see possibly something like a salary cut coming down the road?
No, I think for a lot of reasons, mainly legal, universities are trying to stay away from that. It still goes against the basic premise of intercollegiate athletics, which may sound fraudulent, but it's still the moral compass of the sport. It's hard to predict down the road, because there is one case in front of the Supreme Court right now, and there will be others that could break that down. I think ultimately it's going to be hard to hold this model together, but you know, once you get into that, it becomes a just straight pay for play, which I don't think collegiate leaders would ever be comfortable with. They'd much rather act like that's not going on, even though they know it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Steve is up next. Hello, Steve.
Paul, this is Steve Cameron. I don't know if you remember me or not, formerly of Selma.
Oh, sure. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. This is the first time me calling you in Charlotte, so congratulations on everything. You've done Alabama proud, and we're glad to see how far you've gotten.
Well, thank you, Steve. That means a great deal. I've been away a long time, but I am back often, and it's still my home, even though I haven't lived there in 9 years. Whatever sense that makes.
Reason I'm calling is this NIL thing, and I've said it in cigar shops, and I'd love your opinion. If this thing keeps up, my opinion is that in 4 or 5 years, it's going to evolve into literal trading of players as happens in professional sports. And I'm wondering if you see that coming, and I'll hang up and let you finish.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, and great to connect again. I do think we're coming toward that. College sports is about to go through another one more transformation. And it's going to be like putting duct tape on a brake, though. things are going to get better. They're going to be simpler, but it's, I don't think the model can hold together. Everyone has said that, Saban, Dabo, others. It's going to break fairly quickly. So I think we will ultimately get to a different situation where they'll just have to admit what it is, and that's pay for play. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and we are glad you are with us. And Mark is up next. Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I called you a couple of months ago about the NIL, and I still feel the same way about it. I just think it's headed towards a complete breakdown because it just doesn't make any business sense, any common sense about how you're going to allow a player to get paid outside of what now looks like his employer, which is the college. I mean, at some point, the colleges are going to have to look back and say, wait a minute. Yeah, you came here as a player and somebody said you're worth a lot of money, but you're using our facilities and our good name to make a bunch of money that we have no part in. And maybe I'm just making a bad analogy about how that can't happen in business. But if I understand it right, the NIL was created by a judge that simply said that, you know, athletes should be able to go make money, but I don't see any judge making judgments about people, which is where this is headed, under the employment of someone that get to benefit from the employer, which these kids are going to benefit from, and yet the employer has no say-so in any control over that person or their ability to go out and make money off the college's name. I think in the end there's going to be a lot of pushback from a lot of different people that says not only does this not make sense, it wasn't thought through, but people are going to start getting greedy other than the players.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And how does that get resolved?
Yeah, you make a really good point. The question now is how do you undo it when, right now we have countless state laws. I mean, that's why the leaders of college athletics have gone to Congress, but it's just hard to imagine Congress taking this up anytime soon. And that doesn't mean they won't at some point, but it won't be anytime in the next year.
I agree, but I go back to the business analogy that somebody's going to finally say that was not a fair ruling.
Right.
And maybe, if you make the analogy to any other employer, let's take it from a different direction. Let's assume that employers of companies start deciding that, well, wait a minute, why can't I make money based on my employment accomplishment at a certain company by advertising that I do great things there and making money on the side? That's not allowed in employment, and yet that's what the court has kind of established here. I think it's just
But Mark, one more thing, and this came out of the Alston ruling about a year ago. Even though they're not, there's no correlation directly. The hills are starting to get more insurmountable to stop this because that ruling was about a completely different thing, which opened the door for players to start receiving money for various things that are basically just payoffs, but you can disguise them under the guise of academics. And not to keep quoting Judge Kavanaugh's ruling opinion, but he essentially said, don't come back to us with anything like this, because we're going to shoot you down again and make it even more difficult. So it's a real conundrum for college athletics right now to try to get any relief in the courts. And you are factually correct, but in reality, there are very few people who think we're going. If anything, we're going more in the direction of the players making even more money through more tributaries than stopping it.
It may be true, and I think, and people have said this, that means that you're going to have the elite athletic schools that finally are just going to swallow the bullet and say, you know what, it is what it is. We're paying employees for the sake of whatever you want to say. But I think a lot of academic institutions are going to ask themselves, can we afford to be in this game? What does it get us? And really, how does it go back to the board of the university to say, who else do they pay? And this is maybe where I have a personal gripe with it. Who else do they now pay to be a athlete, supposedly, a student athlete, to get a degree, when now it's blatant that the degree is not what they're there for, and they're probably not going to get that degree? That, to me, goes to the heart of what a university has going to have to ask themselves a hard question about is, hey, we're going to do that. We're going to get people here under the guise of coming to the school when we know they're not here to get a degree. And we are willing to do that because we want to make money and have the prestige of having a good football team. It's just going to peel that
back.
Mark,
there will be major universities who won't go along, and some have big time football programs. I think Michigan is one to keep your eye on. I think what you're going to see, and we're seeing it already, is the haves and the have-nots. It's just going to get worse. I think the middle class of college football is going to be starved out of the top. And, I mean, just within the SEC alone, the addition of Texas and Oklahoma is going to push two schools farther down. There's no getting around it. I mean, those are two of the elite programs in the sport from A to Z. I mean, we were just talking about the College World Series. Both Texas and Oklahoma are in the College World Series. They're in everything because that's the commitment that they have. And this is the story that nobody really wants to talk about. You don't hear college leaders discuss it. When we're at Destin 2 weeks ago, you don't hear the authorities talk about. But it's real. And I hear it when I'm visiting campuses from athletic directors and people.
Well, I'd be curious to your thought. I don't see how this, in the end, when all of it hits the fan, which is going to, I don't see how this is going to help college football. I mean, I just, it's going to divide it. It's going to split it into silos. And I don't know. I don't see where, when it's all said and done, what it's going to do for the game. I'd be curious to what you think.
No, thank you for the call, Mark. I would be disingenuous and a complete fraud here to say you're wrong. On the other hand, I will say this. There will be enough major programs to feed the appetite of the paying public. When I say the paying public, what is that? Well, I work for a television network. I think it speaks for itself. There'll still be quality games on. There'll still be betting lines, even though college athletics doesn't acknowledge that there are, and people will still pay attention. I think the excitement level on the first day of the season will be higher than it's ever been because we are moving back toward a normal time, and these issues are big. I can't sit here and say they're not important, but fans want to see the games, and they're always there's you know, hope springs eternal. We will talk about the College World Series, which used to be a nice little friendly affair, and now it's It's a zillion-dollar event. Michael Katz covering it. We're heading there right now.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Certainly a lot of excitement building for tomorrow's opening pitch of the College World Series. And our man Michael Katz is in Omaha taking it all in. He covers Ole Miss. And Michael, thank you. It's always great to see you. And you have now surpassed some of our regulars as the best backdrop I've seen. You have a natural backdrop, unlike guys like Griff who go to the dollar store to buy theirs. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, Paul?
We're doing okay. So give us the scene setter from Omaha. I know the excitement level is pretty high out there.
Yeah, we already got our first lightning delay for practice. So from what I've heard, we're right about on schedule for a College World Series couple of weeks. I've heard the weather kind of does that here in Omaha, but people are excited. I think the big thing here is, you know, all eight teams here really do feel like they have a chance to win. And I think, you know, when Tennessee got knocked out, it kind of gave a lot of teams hope. And I think every team here really thinks it has a shot.
Michael, I want to talk about this Ole Miss story because, you look up and they're at the top of the polls, and you look again a few weeks later and it is things are destitute. You're starting to wonder if they're going to make the field. You're starting to wonder what the future looks like. Take us through the season, a season of great expectations that ended well, but it was a rough ride at times in between.
Yeah, I mean, roller coaster doesn't, I don't think, really begin to it's not even a good place to start. It was crazier than that. You know, they were a preseason top five team. They were number one in the country after a couple weeks. And then they got swept by Tennessee. And then they lost four SEC series in a row. And it was looking like there was a good chance that they weren't even going to make the tournament. And then they finished hot. They win 8 out of 10, to close out the regular season. And you know, now they've won all five of their postseason games, and they've only given up 11 runs. It's, you know, I think the big question for this Ole Miss team was, you know, who are the pitchers going to be? Who are going to be your top two Friday, Saturday guys? Because they had Doug Nikhazy last year and Gunnar Hoglund, who were two, top two round picks. And it took them a while to kind of figure out who those guys were going to be, but once they got Dylan DeLucia, who's a junior college kid, set up as their Friday night guy. And Hunter Elliott, who's a true freshman from Tupelo, just about an hour away from Oxford, into that Saturday night role. It's really kind of set the stage for everything that's happened over the last few weeks.
And it begins Saturday. Just give us your view of the matchup Saturday. It's a familiar foe. And then what happens after that, assuming the train keeps going?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where just kind of based on how the last, couple of weeks have gone, I wasn't sure if I needed to, like, pack for a couple of days or if this was going to be a two-week thing, because I really think this is a team that thinks it can go all the way. And obviously, Auburn is a familiar foe. They met really, really early on in their SEC schedule. Head coach Mike Bianco has said, yeah, it's nice to know what the lineup is going to look like, but they're very different teams than they were. Ole Miss has had a lot of big moments ups and downs since then, and so I think it's almost going to be like facing a new opponent. And I think as we learn this postseason, anything can happen. I really do think going through the SEC gauntlet and everything that Ole Miss went through, I really do think they're in a really good place. I would not be surprised to, see them maybe do what Michigan did a few years ago when they made it all the way to the final and ended up falling to Vanderbilt, I believe, in three games. They're just that they have that team of destiny feel right now, and I really do think there's something to be said for that.
Michael Katz with us. Michael, let me switch gears. I keep looking down at Twitter. Haven't seen anything from Lane Kiffin today. He's been very out there. We saw him 2 weeks ago. In Destin, he was poking fun at the big story down there. And over the weekend, you helped me describe his tweet because I mischaracterized it once. But some thought he was throwing a little bit of shade at Tennessee losing in the series against Notre Dame. What happened?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I mean, the second that that series against Notre Dame happened, I think the first thing all of us Ole Miss beat writers did was check to see if Lane had tweeted anything, because I think we knew that there was going to be some sort of shot taken if possible. I believe the context was, you know, they were asking what he was up to, and Lane said, you know, excited to still be, you know, watching a team that's still alive. You know, how are you guys doing? And this was right after they had lost, so. It was the classic Lane. It was the Lane Tennessee snark. You know, he's had a big year with their baseball team too. Because you know he threw out the opening pitch that first game and threw the golf ball in the opener against Tennessee. So he enjoys it. He loves having fun with these sorts of things. And I think it was in good fun, but it was definitely had to check his Twitter timeline to make sure. To see if you tweeted something right after.
Michael, before you go, I would like to get some thoughts on the upcoming season. I know you're out there covering baseball, perhaps for another week and a half or so. But what does it look like with all these new players coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question on everybody's mind is the quarterback who takes over for Matt Corral. And, you know, neither guy really looked all that great. You know, during the spring, they had some rough moments, both guys. But, you know, I think that's going to be a really big thing is who can solidify that quarterback spot. I think they're really talented outside of that. Of that, there's no question. Those transfers have really helped them. I think they're in a really good spot. If they can get something out of Jackson Dart or Luke Altmyer, I think they're going to be a really, really good team again.
Michael Katz live at the CWS. We will check in again with him as it progresses. Take care of yourself out there, Michael. Many, many thanks. We appreciate it. We're heading to a break right now, and we will get more of your phone calls here. We've got a lot of time left. Let's hear from you, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Mitch is next. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. How's the day been for you?
Better and getting better by the minute.
Well, you got a storm heading your way.
We got it. It's here. We're just trying to get
rid
of it.
Oh, it's there already?
Oh, yeah. I feel like London during World War II, the bombs going off outside. This is London.
The Blitzkrieg. I'm gonna stir the pot.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I may not be, because you will be able to correct me if I'm wrong.
I would never do that.
The other day, whenever the story came out about A&M wanting Coach Saban sanctioned.
Yes.
Didn't you say somebody had to request the records?
Yeah, they just don't hand over things for out of the goodness of their heart. A reporter went to the open records law and his publication filed suit and was able to ascertain the records.
Okay. I guess my point is who put that reporter on the scent to find that hound dog?
That's a good question.
You know, I don't know that anybody would have thought that would have been.
No, I agree. There had to be something. It's a really good question, and I'm embarrassed that I had the guy on and I did not ask him that. because I have done this, but I haven't done it myself, but I was part of a story many, many years ago. It was an investigative piece, and we were sued, Mitch. So we filed a lawsuit, my newspaper, in Kansas. The NCAA at the time was in Kansas. And the lower court passed it off. We went to the Kansas Supreme Court to get the actual NCAA file. And we thought we had discovered gold. We were going to get our hands on a raw NCAA file. Wrong. There was nothing. They typical NCAA. They had literally nothing in there that was worthwhile. So we spent a fortune and got nothing out of it. We did win the case, though. But so I'm sure somebody must have. I will find that. That's a really good answer. A really good question. I want to find the answer.
Well, it's either somebody from Alabama wanted to embarrass A&M, or somebody from A&M wanted to tell Alabama, we're not scared of you.
There are not a lot of news organizations that will do this unless they have a reason to, because it's expensive.
Well, I just was thinking, who put them on the scent of that trail? And so I figured I'd stir the pot.
Mitch, you have whetted my appetite.
Oh, is this a good call today?
Best call of the day.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
And we are going to see if we can top that call. So who do you think the next caller is?
Jim?
No. If you're
Handsome Joe.
Close.
Squirrel.
Somebody that no matter what he says you can't understand.
Oh, Lord. Paul.
Yeah, Daryl.
I've always said you missed your call, and of course you won the case. I mean, you should have been an attorney. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Still time.
I tell you what. I mean, A&M, I had A&M beating Alabama this year, but all this A&M-Alabama talk, I'm starting to think this is probably not going to work out too well.
No, no, Daryl, I don't. I have to call you off that bet. I think it may be the easiest pick in Nick Saban's career to bet on Alabama in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Bama's going to destroy them.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I'd say if Alabama's up 49-0 and they're on the goal line at the end, say they look at Saban, he goes, "Go in." Let's put half a hundred on these boys.
And then go for two, and after the game, they ask him why he went for two with such a big lead, and he says it's because I couldn't go for three.
One of the all-time great lines. That's one.
Absolutely. Paul, here's what I called, okay? I read an article 24/7 wrote on the transfer portal in Georgia, saying that Georgia was one of four schools that accepted nobody from the transfer portal. You know, and the other three are like academies, Air Force Academy. Let me ask you this. The transfer portal is pretty much made up of players who didn't get all the playing time where they were at. Would you agree with that?
Well, most of the time, but you know, Burton was a player.
I think you got them out there that's very rare, like Burton. Okay?
Well, I mean, you have Burton, you have Williams, Jameson Williams from the previous year. You've got a couple of outliers out, by the way, and usually they go to the prime schools like Alabama or Georgia or somewhere else. But Georgia lost a big-time player, 2 years ago to Florida State?
Well, and we got Kendrick last year, remember, from Clemson. He started for Georgia.
Yeah, no. Those players
are out there in the portal. But I think the majority of them are players who just want more playing time, and that's why they're leaving. And if that's the case, Georgia has zero. I noticed A&M's only had two. Alabama's five. You know, they're the least of the SEC. Ole Miss has the most at 17. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I'm trying to make it as a negative sign, but to me, it looks like a sign that you're not coaching your players up. I mean, you're having to go to the portal to get players because when you're not developing your players the way you should be developing them, probably. And I just thought, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. So they kind of make it look negative toward Georgia. And, you know, look, if them players can't get on the field for the school they were at, they surely ain't going to get on the field at Alabama or Georgia. I mean, you know, they ain't going to know when they got go against four stars and five stars. So I just didn't understand the article. I thought it was kind of misleading. But other than that, Paul, has Jim and Legend made up?
No.
Jim and Legend still have not made up. Did Jim call today?
We have not heard from the artist formerly known as Jim.
Nor have we never seen him. You know what I mean? Nor have we ever seen him. See you, Paul.
Thank you, Daryl. I have seen Daryl. I had lunch with Daryl. I was doing a book signing a couple years ago, and had more than a couple. and I had lunch with Daryl and I-Man. Very entertaining, by the way. Daryl's a nice guy until he calls. Let's check out Mickey in Florida. Hello, Mickey.
Hello, Paul. Paul, I want to talk about, believe it or not, I still think there's an unintended consequence of NIL that I haven't heard discussed. And I want to give you the names. Think about Lou Holtz, Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer, Bobby Petrino, and Nick Saban. Those were all highly successful college coaches that failed at coaching in the NFL. And I think what may have been the case was they went to the NFL and they tried to coach 30-year-old mature men with money in the bank the same way they coached 19 and 20-year-old kids who had nowhere to go but back home. And it didn't work for them in the NFL. And the question, what I want to discuss is, let's take A&M, for example, because that seems to be everybody's target. And I don't know whether A&M is giving out money with both hands or not, but let's just say one of these kids has a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank, and Jimbo Fisher starts yelling and screaming at the kid, spit flying, it's 95 degrees in College Station on the practice field. He's talking to an immature kid that's got $100,000 in the bank. I think that kid, through his attitude or perhaps by an actual show of hands, I think that kid's going to show the coach the middle finger with both hands. I think these kids are going to be uncoachable. I just don't know how you're going to
coach. Mickey, I think
you're
right. And I think that's one – let's take Saban, for example, because he's the one that spoke the loudest. I think that's one of the things that's bugging him the most. He doesn't want to say it, but –
I think he's been trying to tell the world that for the last six or eight weeks.
He knows one thing. Let's say he's in the middle of – one of these bids for a big-time kid, and however they do it, the number goes really high. He's lost any jurisdiction over that kid, and it's going to affect an older coach more than a younger coach.
You know, it's funny. Frank Royals told me 50 years ago, he said, the hardest thing I have to do in recruiting is to unrecruit them when I get them on campus.
That's great.
What he was talking about all these young kids, for all their athletic careers, they've been told how wonderful they are, and then the coaches come in there and say, hey, if you'll come to our school, we can win a national championship. And then you get them on campus, they're up against juniors and seniors in college, and Brawl said the hardest thing you have to do is work on the attitude, keep them around until their time comes. So what I'm saying is that you give a 19-year-old immature kid who's never handled money, you give him that kind of cash, and then you start screaming at him on the practice field and he's not getting playing time anyway, I think some of these five stars are going to be bust. And if, you know, A&M had this great recruiting class, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just have an Aggie-type year next year and go 8-4.
It's a Mickey, first of all, I would have loved to have been part of that Frank Broyles conversation, one of the all-time greats. But thank you for calling, and that's the concern. Of course, remember, Jimbo said he didn't even know anything about NIL. Well, I know one thing. We are back for another hour. We hope you'll join us.